to start with a famous quote from Moses Mendelssohn. You see in the first source that Judaism is a religion of deed, not creed. In other words, he was contrasting Judaism with Christianity. Christianity, he said, is primarily focused on creed, on belief. You have to have belief. It's not focused so much on deed. Judaism, he says, is the opposite. It's focused on deed, what we do, mitzvahs. It's not focused on creed. It's not focused on belief. Now, this actually, he never actually said those words, but he wrote a book about that idea, that Judaism is focused on deed, not what you believe. With any familiarity with Gemara, Rambam, we'll see how that statement is obviously not true. We read in the beginning of the 10th parak in Sanhedrin, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lehem Chelek Olam Haba. Everybody has a portion in Olam Haba. Here's some. And then the Mishnah says, Ve'elu She'ein Lehem Chelek Olam Haba. These are the people who lose their portion in Olam Haba. Ha'omer Ein Tchias HaMeisim Min HaTorah. Somebody doesn't believe in resurrection. Ein Torah min haShemayim. Someone doesn't believe the Torah came from Shemayim. Apikoros, someone who denies God. So here we have a Mishnah, says very clearly, who are the people who lose their Olam Haba? Not the people who don't have deeds. That's not what the Mishnah said. But the people who believe false beliefs. So very clearly that Yadus, although there is a very big focus on what we do, on Maaseh Mitzvos, there is certainly an equal focus on what we believe. And if we believe the wrong things, we would lose out our portion in Olam Haba. Similarly, the Chovos HaLevavos in the second source says, well, in his introduction to why he's writing the Sefer, he says that a human being is made up of two parts. He's made up of a guf and made up of a nefesh. And parallel to each part, there are avodas Hashem. So parallel to the guf are avarim. We have the Maaseh Mitzvos, the mitzvahs which we do, Limud HaTorah, he says, Tefillah, Sukkah, Lulav, Tefillin, or the Maaseh Mitzvos. Parallel to our nefesh, we have what we're supposed to believe, what we're supposed to know, what we're supposed to be aware of. And he says, since that hasn't been discussed enough, he's writing the Sefer Chovos HaLevavos to teach us what we have to be aware of. So he says there's an Avodas Hashem in what we do, parallel to our Ivarim. There's Avodas Hashem in what we believe, parallel to our lev and to our nefesh. Again, very, very clearly that Judaism has equally both what we believe in and what we do. So certainly a very incorrect statement that he said. So the Rambam, as we know, wrote in his introduction to the Mishnayos in Chelek, the 10th parak of Sanhedrin, the Rambam wrote 13 ikrim of emunah, 13 principles of faith, which he listed. Now, in contrast to the Rambam writing the Taryag Mitzvahs, Rambam we know wrote Sefer HaMitzvahs, where he wrote the 613 mitzvahs. The number 613 came from Chazal. Chazal told us there were 613 mitzvahs. They didn't tell us which ones they were. And the Rambam and many other Rishonim said, okay, we'll try to figure out what are the 613 mitzvahs. Here, the Rambam, really from nowhere, picked up that there were 13 principles. There was no Chazal that says that there's 13 principles or more than 20 or 3. The Rambam listed 13 ikrei emunah, 13 principles of emunah. And the Rishonim of his time questioned, what exactly is the Rambam trying to do? What is he doing when he's listing these 13 principles? So we'll say two sets of questions that they asked on the Rambam. The Abarbanel asked the question as follows. The Rambam is saying there's 13 ikrei emunah, 13 fundamental principles. So the Abarbanel says, we have to believe everything that it says in the Torah. Anybody who denies even a single pasuk that it says in the Torah is a kofir. And every word in the Torah is certainly true. If that's the case, How can I say that one prince, one truth in the Torah is more important than the other? It means if a person says, I don't believe that the flood ever happened with Noah. I've researched it historically, there's no documents. I don't believe that the flood happened. So that person would be a kofer b'Torah. He'd be kofer in Torah Hashem, and we would treat him like an apikoros, just like the person who says, I don't believe that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. So how can the Rambam list 13 principles where everything in the Torah is true and everything has to be followed in the Torah? How can the Rambam sort of highlight one truth more than any other truth? And therefore he doesn't understand what the Rambam is doing when the Rambam set up the 13 principles. So that's his question. The Sefer HaIkrim, Sefer Ikrim is a Sefer written on the Yud Gimel Ikrim from one of the Rishonim. And the Sefer Ikrim says, fine, I get it. The Rambam is boiling down Emunah into 13 principles. But the Sefer Ikrim says, when you try to boil something down, what you try to do is to boil it down to its root rule. You want to make, there's a whole set of rules. So let's try and bring it down to the most basic rules. And the Sefer Ikrim said, if you do that, there's really three principles. What are the three principles? He said, if you want to be a religious person, you have to believe in God. That's principle number one. You have to believe that God commanded us mitzvahs. I can believe in God, but how's that relevant to my life? Well, because God is telling me what to do, so I have to believe in Torah. And number three is, I have to believe in reward and punishment, that God knows and cares and it makes a difference what I'm doing. So those are the three basic principles that there is. So the Sefer Ikrim says, yes, of course, each principle can be broken down into subcategories, but then you can really do that forever. The Rambam should have just listed there are three basic principles. I have to believe in God. Well, of course, you know, if I believe God is just some man up in Shemayim, that's not really believing in God. So, yes, that would be a subcategory. What exactly does it mean I believe in God? I have to believe in the Torah. Well, if I believe that God doesn't communicate to man, I'm not really believing in the Torah. So certainly, if I believe in the Torah, I have to believe in Nevuah. So therefore, he says that almost all of the 13 can really be put under these three categories. So he says there's really only three Ikri Emunah, not 13 Ikri Emunah, and all the ones that the Rambam says are really subcategories of the three. Yes? No, he's coming very different. He says he's not agreeing with the Abinel. He says we could make Ikri Emunah, but when you want to make an Ikri, you try to boil down something to its most basic rule, and everything should be a follow of that rule.
If someone's kofer in something which is not one of his three Ikri
Emunah, it's for sure a kofer. Yeah. He agrees with the Abinel's point, but he says, okay, the Rambam is listing the Ikri Emunah. It's true, everything in the Torah is true, and I have to believe in everything. But I understand what the Rambam could be listing, Ikrei Emunah. But he says, where do you get to 13? There should only be three. So really, we have to figure out what was the Rambam trying to accomplish when he made 13 principles. What is his list? When you're making a list, what is the criteria that I'm trying to make this list? So the Abinel, he says, I don't get it at all. Everything's true, and you don't make lists of everything's true, and everything you have to, and you can't deny everything. I don't get it at all. Why are you making 13 principles? So the Abinel says, you know what? Maybe it's just for people who are beginners in learning, and they're reading the introduction to the Mishnayos, so it's like for a beginner. And he told you can't teach them the whole Torah. So he said things which are kolel, things which are, you know, information which comes up many, many times in the Torah. And therefore, the Rambam listed those 13. Others say somewhat a little different than the Rambam. It's different, but really the same idea. Now, what was the Rambam trying to do? What the Rambam was trying to do was the Rambam was living at a time where there were the other two religions, Christianity and Islam, were fighting against Judaism. Many times, whether it's the Shas Hashmad, we were being forced to, some people were being forced to convert to other religions. So the Rambam wanted to clearly state, what is the difference between Judaism and the other religions. What difference in belief does Judaism have over Christianity? If I'm saying, okay, I'll be a Christian, so what am I saying by being a Jew? What differences exist between Judaism and Christianity? So the Rambam didn't have to say, well, we believe in Tevas Noach, because the Christians at the time also believed in Tevas Noach. Everybody at that area believed in the Bible and believed in Tevas Noach. That wasn't a difference. That wasn't relevant to talk about. But what the Rambam was listing were things which may be different between Judaism and Christianity, Judaism and Islam. We believe that Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest prophet, and there can't be a prophet like Moshe Rabbeinu. That certainly is a Jewish belief, which is not a Christian belief, not a Muslim belief. So the Rambam was listing specific beliefs which people at that time may question, may have doubts about, and compared to other religions, that was what he was trying to do. So again, this is one set of approach in the Rambam. Either the Rambam is trying to list principles which people may be doubting, questioning, or at that time there was certain competition against them by the other religions, or the Sefer Ikrim says, the Rambam is just listing 13 important principles, which he really could have boiled them down to three. Comes Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, and he has a very, very different approach to what the Rambam is trying to do. A very, very fundamental approach. Rav Chaim comes off a Ravid in Rambam and Yesodei HaTorah, where he, again, really reiterates the principles. There is a Hasaga of the Ravid, there's a footnote, there's a note of the Ravid which disagrees with the Rambam. So, and this, the Rav Chaim tries to explain what is the machlokus between the Rambam and the Ravid. So it goes as follows. One of the principles are, I think the third or fourth principle, is that God has no physicality. God has no physicality, although the Torah speaks about Hashem's hands, and Hashem hears, and Hashem sees. We don't believe that Hashem has hands, and he doesn't have ears, and he doesn't have eyes. Hashem has no physicality at all. And the Rambam says if a person believes that Hashem has physicality, like the simple reading of the psukim, that's denying one of the principles. Comes along the Ravid, and the Ravid says there were many people, even greater than the Rambam, who were misled by the psukim and believed that God had physicality. That when the psukim said that God sees, means God has eyes just like we have eyes, and God hears, God has ears just like we have ears. So there are many people who were misled by the psukim, and they believed that God does have physicality. That's his question on the Ravid. So I'll ask, what kind of question is that? The Ravid himself agrees with the Rambam that God has no physicality. There's nothing physical about God. So if the Ravid agrees with the Rambam, so what is he saying, that there were many people who were misled by the psukim? Well, so what? But we both agree that it's incorrect. So what are you arguing on me that there happened to be people who were misled? So we hear the question. The Rambam says it's a basic belief that even though the psukim speak about Hashem's hands and Hashem's fists and Hashem's fingers, he has nothing physical about God. And the psukim are just saying so we can understand the idea, but it doesn't mean it's not to be understood literally. And the Ravid says, I agree with you, but there were many people who were misled by the psukim. Fine, so there were many people who were misled by the psukim. But why is that a question on the Rambam, where we both agree that the psukim are not to be understood literally? No, well, we both agree they're wrong. Right. So what? They made a mistake. So the Rambam says they made a mistake, and the Ravid says they made a mistake. So now what? So what's the argument?
Well, I mean, there's
okay, so we'll come to that. So this is what Rav Chaim says. So Rav Chaim, if you look at the fifth source from the Kovetz Mamarim from Elchanan, so Rav Chaim is quoted. He says it in Yiddish, that der was is nebuch apikoros is euch apikoros, which means the person who unfortunately is an apikoros, it's not his fault, but he's still an apikoros, which means that the Rambam is saying that for these principles, it's necessary to be a practicing Jew, to be aware and to believe in these principles. And if you don't believe it, even because it's not your fault, that's the way you were brought up. You weren't brought up in a home that believes in that. So we say you're never an apikoros. Unfortunately, you're an apikoros. You're not to blame. No one's blaming you. But in the end of the day, you're still an apikoros. Which means what the Rambam is saying as follows. If nobody ever told me the story of Noach, I never knew that it happened. I go through my life. I never knew that that there was once a flood and Noach was saved in the Teva. Okay, so there's a gap in my knowledge. There's a gap in my Jewish knowledge. I don't know everything, which is fine. I don't know everything. So that's not the end of the world. But if nobody ever told me that Torah was given from Shemayim to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm a Jew and I practice what I'm supposed to. But nobody ever taught me that Hashem communicated to Moshe the Torah. So that's not just a gap in my knowledge. I'm an apikoros. And even though it's not my fault, nobody ever taught it to me, I'm still considered to be an apikoros and under the category of apikoros. It's never an apikoros. We feel bad for you. Unfortunately, you're an apikoros. No one's blaming you, but you're still an apikoros. So the Rambam is saying that there are 13 basic fundamental beliefs that to be a religious Jew, you have to be aware of. Not that you can't deny, but you have to be know and believe. And if you don't know and believe these 13 things, we would still categorize you as an apikoros. So now we understand the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid. Came along the Rambam and he said like this, if a person read psukim and he said that I understood the psukim literally that God has hands and God has fingers and God has ears and eyes, because that's what the psukim seem to say. So the Rambam says, you're an apikoros, not your fault. You were misled by the simple interpretation of the psukim, but you still are categorized an apikoros. We can't categorize you as a religious Jew. Says the Ravid, no, that's not such a fundamental belief that you can't be a religious Jew even if you believe that. If a person believes that God has a physical being, so he says he's wrong, okay, so he's mistaken, but he's not called an apikoros. He's still a religious Jew. He can still be a full religious Jew, even though he has a mistaken belief. So this is an extremely important Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim is explaining that the Rambam is saying these 13 things a religious Jew has to be aware of, not just not to deny. You have to know these 13 things to be a religious practicing Jew. And even if you didn't, you would be called an apikoros. And in this, we can have a machlokas that the Rambam can say, maybe not every one of the 13, even though they're correct beliefs, maybe they're not that essential that to be a religious Jew, you have to be aware of. Yes. So we'll come to that. Let's come to that. I'm going to explain a little bit, and let's get back to your point. So now the question is why? Why is it so important? Let's say I'm a religious Jew. I come every day. I daven and I learn and I do mitzvahs, and I happen not to believe that Torah is min hashemayim. I thought that this was something Moshe Rabbeinu was divinely inspired to write. He wasn't told this from Shemayim. Why would I be an apikoros? I'm doing Torah. I'm doing mitzvahs. I have a mistaken belief. It's not my fault. This is the way I was taught. And nobody ever taught me that Torah is min hashemayim. Why would I be called an apikoros? Why is that true? What Reb Chaim is saying, that I would be called an apikoros. So I'm going to give three interpretations. When preparing for this, I was used a lot of Sefer by Rabbi J. David Bleich from Yeshiva University. It's a beautiful source Sefer on the Sefer Ikrim. So he quotes, what? I don't know, remember. He quotes a professor, I think the person's name is Gutman. Looking him up in Wikipedia, I think he himself probably didn't believe in the 13th Yukibaliquim, but he does have a book about Jewish philosophers. So he says as follows. He says that the Rambam says that in order to be zocha to Olam Haba, in order to get into Olam Haba, the Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim, a person has to have developed his intellect to be able to get into and appreciate Olam Haba. Olam Haba is a greater understanding of Hashem, and in order to enjoy it and appreciate it and really therefore get in, it's important in this world we've developed at least the basis of our intellect to be able to now graduate and to have a deeper understanding of Hashem. That's what the Rambam writes. So he says, Olam Haba is a continuation of the development I've made in this world, and then I'm going to expand on that when I get into Olam Haba. So he says, if a person is missing the basic information, so he just can't get into Olam Haba. It's like a person wants to take a course in higher mathematics. So he comes to the course, and the professor asked him, well, did you do the previous course? And he says, no, I'm sorry, I was sick the whole last year. I wasn't able to go to school to do the previous course. So the professor says, okay, it's not your fault, we're not blaming you, but it's really pointless to come to my class right now because you're not going to understand a word until you take the course beforehand. So we're not punishing you, but I can't let you come into class when you're not going to know what I'm talking about. So similar, he says, that if you haven't developed these basic information, knowledge of Hashem in here, you can't get into Olam Haba because you're missing the basic appreciation of knowledge of Hashem, and therefore you can't. Therefore, there's no point in getting into Olam Haba. So again, it's not a punishment. We're saying you're nebuch, and not because he wasn't explaining Rav Chaim. He was saying this on his own. But you're nebuch, and not because. But still, how can we? There's no point in getting Olam Haba and getting reward, which is a deeper asag of Hashem, if you can't really appreciate it based on your lack of knowledge in this world. That's the interpretation. That's his interpretation, which Rabbi Bleich is really that's what he goes with. The way I in yeshiva heard Rav Chaim said over, I think Rav Yaakov Weinberg in Baltimore has a sefer on Yigamalikim. He explains it in a very different way. Imagine like this. Imagine you have a person who doesn't believe in God. He doesn't believe in God at all. But, you know, for whatever reason, he's a good person, and he does tzedakah, he does chesed. Is he going to get reward for the tzedakah and chesed that he does? Would you think that God should reward him for the good that he does? Anywhere. Okay, but Asa could be believed in. I don't believe in God. I mean, someone doesn't believe in God, but for whatever reason, he believes in being a good person. Anybody saw the interview, the very infamous interview George Soros had on 60 Minutes? Okay, where he was accused, based on that, of being a Nazi collaborator. Okay, I didn't see it. Fine. In that, he says, the guy asks him, do you believe in God? And he says, no, I don't believe in God. So, okay, he's done a lot of charity. Maybe some of it's gone to good places, I don't know, but let's say. So does he get a reward for that charity that he's done or not? What? So the Ramban is an introduction to Sefer Iyov. Says no. He says a reward is for serving Hashem. And if I didn't serve Hashem because I don't believe in him, why would I get him? Why should Hashem reward me ultimately for serving him if I'm clearly not serving him because I don't believe in Hashem at all? So the Ramban in Sefer Iyov is coming to discuss the what he says Iyov is about, the question of Tzadik v'ralo, Rasha v'tovlo. How can it be a Rasha who has a good time in this world? Why should a Rasha be seeming to have everything good in this world? So the famous answer which Chazal gave is that he's being rewarded for his mitzvahs that he does in the world. Every Rasha does some mitzvahs, so therefore he's being rewarded for the mitzvahs which he did in this world. So the Ramban says that answer is inadequate. That doesn't really answer the question. He says, what if the Rasha denies God? So He's not like Esav who believed in God. He doesn't believe in God. So the man says he's not going to get any reward for what he did, even if he did a lot of good. And therefore, that can't be why he's having a good life. So that can't really be a full answer to the question that he says, really, that's part of Sefer Iyov is about. So therefore, Rabbi Weinberg said, if a person, in order to really be considered to be serving Hashem, I have to believe in God. I have to believe that God communicated a Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, that I'm fulfilling God's will when I do the Torah. I have to believe that God cares one way or the other. I have to believe in reward or punishment. So all these 13 things are necessary for a person when he's doing mitzvahs to be considered avodas Hashem. I'm doing it to serve Hashem, and these are Hashem's will, so I have to believe in a God, and I have to believe in a God that's powerful, and a God that's doesn't have physicality, and a God that communicates to people, and a God that knows what I'm doing, and a God that cares what I'm doing, is going to reward me and punish me. All these are make now that I believe in these things. When I do a mitzvah, it's being done serving Hashem. If I don't believe in these things, when I'm doing a mitzvah, it's not being done serving Hashem, and therefore I'm not going to receive a reward for the good that I do. What? If you leave God as an end? Yeah, so in other words, limiting God to such a limited extent that it's a human, so then that's not really believing in God because he's so limited. So I'm serving such a limited creature, so then that wouldn't be considered believing in God. Again, not all of them, I think, would be easy to explain in this answer. Yes?
So we said Poshi
Yisrael
Mitzvah is it saying that they don't get reward for
them? Well, Poshi Yisrael would be people who believe in God, according to the Ramban, but they do a lot of Aveiros. But they do mostly Aveiros, but they believe in God. So we said that they get plenty of mitzvahs and they'll get rewarded. But the Ramban says, I don't know if those on record disagreeing, could be, they are, that if you don't believe in God and you do good, just because for whatever reason you believe in, you won't get reward for what you're doing. Very briefly, a third explanation given by Avochanan Wasserman why a person would be held accountable if he doesn't know these 13 Ikrim. Is Rav Chanan asks a question which we've shown him really ask already, that how can there be a mitzvah to believe? How can the Torah give us a commandment to believe something? Belief, either it's self-evident, and if it's self-evident, there can't be a mitzvah to believe in it because it's obvious. There's no mitzvah to believe it's dark outside because if I go outside, I'll see that it's dark. So there can't really be a commandment to believe that. And if it's not self-evident, if there's room for doubt, how can Hashem command me to believe something which has room to doubt? I mean, a person can't really believe something when he knows that it might not be true. I can fool myself into believing it, but I don't really believe it when there's room for doubt. So if there's no room for doubt, it's self-evident, then there can't be a mitzvah to believe in it because I will believe in it without a mitzvah. And if there's room for doubt, then how can Hashem command me to believe something which inherently has room for doubt? So Rabbi Chanan gives an answer based on, he says, the prohibition in the Torah to take shochad, to take a bribe. You have a judge, and he's a bright guy, and he's an honest guy, and someone gives him and says, you know what, I'm going to give you a $100 bribe. So the judge says, you know what, I need the $100, I'll take it, but I'm still going to be honest. The guy didn't tell me I have to judge the case his way. I'll take the $100 and I'll still judge the case fairly. So the Torah says that won't happen because ki hashochad yavir eini chachamim, the moment you take a bribe, you can't be impartial anymore. Even if you think you're going to be impartial, it's impossible to be impartial. Once you take a bribe, you already want a certain outcome, even if the guy didn't promise the person that outcome, and that will blind your impartiality. So Rabbi Chanan says similarly, The Gemara says we worshipped Avodah Zarah. Why? Not because we really, really believed in it, but Lahatir Arayus Befahesya. Because keeping the Torah has so many restrictions, and a person who's an intellectually honest person can't say, well, if I believe in the Torah, I have to believe in its restrictions, and therefore I have to keep them. I don't want to keep them. I want to have a more enjoyable life. And therefore, that will bribe me to find ways of not believing in the Torah. So the way Rav Chanan says it, emunah is self-evident. It's self-evident that it's true. But you could accept shochad by looking at a seemingly happier life, not believing, and that shochad could blind you to something which is self-evident. And therefore, the mitzvah of belief is not to be blinded to something which is self-evident. And therefore, he says that somebody who has wrong beliefs, ultimately, it's self-evident, which means you should be able to see it on your own. Even a not sophisticated person should be able to see it. Somebody with wrong beliefs could be held accountable because it's his shochad which allowed him to have the wrong beliefs. So let's just sum up the three approaches that we're saying. According to the Abavanel and the Sefer HaIkrim, the Rambam is either according to the Abavanel, the Rambam is just listing certain things that maybe people would question, but there really is no difference between these beliefs and any other fact stated in the Torah. According to the Sefer HaIkrim, the Rambam is listing fundamental beliefs. He thinks the Rambam should have put it into much shorter, into three. According to Rav Chaim, the Rambam is listing 13 things which a Jew has to know, not just a list of 13, not just a fundamental beliefs, which maybe we can boil down into a shorter list, but he's listing the things you have to know. So he doesn't want to boil that down because you have to know all these 13, not just the three of the Sefer HaIkrim. You have to know all these 13. Why is it so important to know these? And if you don't know them, it's not just a gap in your knowledge, but you could become an apikoros. So either we're saying because in order to get Olam Haba, there has to be some sort of prerequisites in this world, some basic knowledge about Hashem in this world to get you to Olam Haba, or to be serving Hashem, to be called that my mitzvahs are serving Hashem, there has to be a belief beforehand that I'm aware of Hashem, otherwise my mitzvahs are not serving Hashem, or these things are self-evident, which you can figure out on your own, and it's only you're blinding yourself if you don't know, figure them out on your own, and therefore you could be held accountable for not knowing that. I can't figure out Tevis Noach on my own, so if I wasn't taught the story of Noach, okay, it's not my fault that I don't know it, I'm not going to be held accountable. But God is self-evident on its own, and therefore if you don't know it, it's just because you've blinded yourself to something which is self-evident, and therefore you would be held accountable for it. Well, yeah, that to me, even though that Abraham was not blinding himself. Right. Right, that's really what Buchanan is saying, that knows what was Abraham's argument? Not a super sophisticated argument, right? Abraham's argument was that if there's a bira, right, there's a building, so somebody must have built it, right? If there's a hotel, there must be somebody who built the hotel. So he says, I looked at the world, and I said, there has to be a Baal Habira. There has to be somebody who is the supreme being who made the world. So that's what Chanan's trying to say. Doesn't require sophisticated arguments and proofs. You know, if you read Moreh Nevuchim, there are very sophisticated proofs saying you don't need that. It's very simple proofs, and in a sense, you have to be willing not to believe in order. You have to, you know, there has to be a will not to believe in order to be a kofer. Yeah. It's also a good question. Right? Are those self-evident? One would think not all the 13 are self-evident. Yes, that I agree with you. So let's just sum up. And this what Rav Chaim is saying. We should point out that the Sefer HaIkrim says clearly not like that. The Sefer HaIkrim says that if a person was misled or misinformed, and he does about any of these ikrim, he's not called a kofer. So like you said, a tinik shenishba who's brought up not knowing this, he's a tinik shenishba, he's not called a kofer, he won't be held accountable. So the Sefer HaIkrim says that, and says that that's a dava pashut. So Rav Chaim is maintaining that the Rambam would disagree with that. I found it a little difficult to accept. If you look at the beginning, the first line in the second page, where the Rambam sums it up, he says, "Kasher yifakbek adam b'yisoid me'elu ha'yisoidus." If someone questions one of these principles, "Harei yotza min haklal," he's left the nation klal yisol. "Rekafar be'ika," he's denied the fundamental. Shem benikra min v'apikos v'kotz it's natius, and is called a min v'apikos. Okay, so far so good. That would fit with what V'chanan is saying. But then he says, v'choyve l'sanoso, the third page, page 3, the first line. V'choyve l'sanoso, you're required to hate him, u'lahashmido, and to destroy him, v'alav hu oimer halomisanecha Hashem esna. And such a person, it says, those who hate Hashem, I hate them. Now, that doesn't seem to fit so well with what Chaim is saying, that Nebuch an apikoros is still an apikoros. If he's Nebuch an apikoros, we say, it's not your fault, we don't blame you at all, but you're still missing the boat. And if you miss the boat, you can't really be called a religious Jew. Fine, but do I hate that person? I mean, he didn't do anything wrong. We're not blaming that person. I don't hate him. I have to get rid of him. If Chaim is saying this person didn't do anything wrong, he's not accountable. He's not to blame. But in the end of the day, he can't really be doing mitzvahs if he doesn't believe in God. So it's not his fault, but he's not going to get Olam Haba. So it makes sense to say that he may be an apikoros that doesn't get Olam Haba. It's not your fault. But as we said, you can't get a reward if you don't deserve it. But why would the Rambam say you have to hate such a person who it's when it's not his fault? So it's a little hard to accept that that's what the Rambam meant, although it is a very nice explanation between the Rambam and the Ravid. So maybe Melamed Schus, and like you're saying, all the Tinik Shanishmas, we do have the Sefer Ikrim, which says very clearly that if you are mistaken about these Yod Gimel Ikrim, you're wrong, but you're not called an apikoros. And although Rav Chaim is saying that the Rambam would disagree, I'm not sure how well that fits into the words of the Rambam. Okay, we have a couple of minutes. I wanted to get through the first five of the Ikrim, so I'm going to go very quickly over the first five. So the first principle is the existence of God, that he says, we'll see very quickly, Hayisod HaRishon, Mitzias Haboyer Yishtabach, V'hu She'esha Motzui B'Shleimus Ofani HaMitzias, that there is a being who's perfect, V'hu Ilas Mitzias Kol HaNimtzoyim, and he's the source of everything in creation. Now, the Rambam adds something, and Ubo Kiyum Mitziusam, and because of Hashem is the continuance of creation, u'mimenu nimshach lehem akiyim, and from him everything continues. So he says that there is a being, Hashem, which is the source of all creation. Hashem is the creator of the world. He's the source of all creation. And the continuous existence of creation also comes from Hashem. This is a point that the Mekubalim stress, that not only did Hashem create the world, like I would build a table, that I can build a table. Okay, now the table exists. I'm the one who built it. But the continuous existence of the world is also dependent on Hashem, which means Hashem has to constantly will the world to exist. It's like I'm holding this up. So if I'm holding this thing up, it's not because I held it up a minute ago, is it in the air? I'm continuously have to hold it up to allow it to stay in the air. The moment I let go, it's going to fall to the ground. This is what we say in the davening, HaMechadish B'tuvoy B'chol Yoim Tamid Ma'aseh Bereishis. Hashem is continuously recreating the Ma'aseh Bereishis. Kamo La'osei Orem Gedolim. Hashem is making the Orem Gedolim. So the Rambam seems to be saying that's part of the first principle. There's a being that created the world, and the continuous existence of the world is dependent on Hashem's continuous will that the world should exist. Okay, the second principle is the unity of God. So we generally would think that unity of God is coming to say against the Trinity, coming to say against Avodah Zarah, multiple gods. The Rambam actually, certainly that's included in what the Rambam says, but the Rambam takes that to a much, much deeper idea of the Achdus of Hashem, that Hashem is completely one. One means it's not like Hashem is made up of components and parts. One of Hashem is something indivisible. It's a perfect one. That's the Rambam idea. The Rambam stresses. The third is what we discussed. Hayisoda shlishis hagashmus mimenu, that Hashem has nothing physical about him. So as we said, the Torah, when it speaks about Hashem, uses physical mishalim. Hashem stretched out his hand. Hashem sees. Hashem hears. And because Hashem Torah wants to describe us and give us an understanding of Hashem, and that's the only way that we can possibly understand it, if it's describing things that we perceive. So we perceive hearing and seeing and stretching out your hand. So in a sense, it was worthwhile for the Torah to write it in such a way, despite the fact that people may make mistakes and actually think that Hashem is a physical being. So the Rambam says that there's no such thing, that of course there's no physicality in Hashem, and it's all Dibrei Torah, Koloshen B'nei Adam. The fourth principle, the eternity of God. So the Rambam says that Hashem is we'll see it inside. Shezeh ha'echad ha'metua hu ha'kadmoin behechlet. Hashem is the first of everything. Chol nimsa zulasei hu bilti kadmoin b'yachas eilav. And anything else in the world is not eternal in relation to Hashem, which means that the world is, Hashem is eternal, and the world is not eternal. Now, this is actually a big deal if you were studying philosophers around the time of the Rambam, because many of the philosophers thought that the world was eternal. Plato said that's impossible for Hashem to create yesh mi'ayin. He says Hashem can't create something from nothing. And he says that's not a limitation in God's ability. It just doesn't make any sense. You can't create something from nothing. Therefore, there always had to be something, not necessarily a world, but there always had to be something which Hashem used to create something from. Aristotle took that a step further, and Aristotle said that the world as we see it existed forever. It's not just like God was eternal, the world as we see it is eternal too. And then he basically wrote Hashem out of the world because he said that God doesn't have the ability to change anything in the world. So the world exists, it's always existed, it can't be changed, and it's always been as. So he says, I believe in God, but God can't really do very much. He can't change the world from the way we see it, and that's been existed eternally. Yes? Yeah, that's a good question. That's a valid question. Yeah. So they would apply to non-Jews. So the Rambam says that a non-Jew who does the Sheva Mitzvus B'nei Noach, because he believes that God commanded them, will get Olam Haba. But he also says this thing, the same thing that the Ramban says. You know, if a non-Jew does the Sheva Mitzvus B'nei Noach just because he believes in being a good person, he's not going to get Olam Haba. He's not going to get reward for it. He has to believe that Hashem commanded it. So I don't know if he has to believe in all the Yud Gimel mitzvahs, but I imagine if he has a belief in God, like Aristotle, who says that God doesn't even know. Aristotle also believed that God didn't know what was going on in the world either. So he's the creator of the world, which always existed, but he can't really change it, and he's not aware of what's going on in it. So I would hard to believe that if he did any of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, that would be because God commanded it. He clearly didn't believe that God commanded it. So you're asking a good question. How did he praise him? Yeah. So it didn't sound like he hated him. Okay, and now the Rambam does write, and he said that this could be not in all of editions of the Rambam, but just worth quoting. Zeh Shatira, in the second to last line of the fourth principle, Zesha Tira Shani Soiviv Soviv Inyan Kadmas Olam Lefi Dasa Philosophim. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, in a sense, takes into account the philosopher's acceptance of the world existing forever. And when he tries to prove the existence from God, he says, even if you believe in what the philosophers say, I can still prove the existence from God. He says, Hu kadeshe hamofus muchlet amitziosi yisala kimi shabiyati. That's just to make a proof that even the philosophers would agree with, but not that I really believe in that. One of the fundamentals is that only Hashem is eternal, and everything is after that, which means Hashem must have created the world from nothing. Okay, I want to spend a few minutes on tefillah. It's a very important principle, which is the fifth principle. If you look on page 5, we'll end with this. So let's read this inside. Hayesoid hachamishi. So it's page 5 in the notes. Hayesoid hachamishi. Shehu yisala hu asher royu la'avdoi ulu'raymamai ulu'farsim gadlusai u'mashma'usai. That Hashem is the one who we should worship and elevate and spread his greatness. Ein osin kein l'mashin l'mata mimenu b'metzias min hamalachim. We don't do similar things to anyone less than Hashem, whether it's the angels, v'hakochavim, whether the stars, ha'gilgalim, or the planets, or anything made out of matter. Now, is that a principle or a mitzvah? What would we say? Rambam says, the fifth principle is, I should only daven and worship Hashem. I shouldn't daven and worship anything else, including angels, stars, or anything else. Would you call that a principle? Or would you, is that a belief or that a commandment? Okay, so come to that. So far he's just said that don't worship anything else. That would be a mitzvah. That wouldn't be a belief. Now this is probably the stress. Lefi shekulam mutba'in bepuloseim ein lehem shilton loy bechira elevitzona yisala. Because they all have, they're built in what they have to do. They don't have choice at all what they have to do. So the Rambam says, I don't daven to a malach. Why? Not because it's forbidden to daven from it. It might be forbidden, but the principle is not that it's forbidden. It's a waste of time because the malach can't do anything to answer me anyways. So I can ask him as nice as I can or give him what he wants. He's just beteva. It's built in to do what he has to do, beteva, and doesn't have bechira to help me out in any way. So that's a principle. The principle is that only Hashem has the ability to answer my tefillas, not anybody else. Not like you would say, well, Hashem created the world, like just like a king. So if you have a king, he could appoint ministers. You have a justice minister and a finance minister, and they have decision-making power. Even the king might allow himself the ability to override them, but he gives them decision-making power. And if you go and ask him something or present something to this minister, he may do something for you. So the Rambam is saying that's not the case by a malach. Nobody, a malach has no ability to help you out. It means only Hashem has the ability to control the world. So that's a principle in believing in the greatness of God. He's the only one who can actually answer a tefillah, and nobody else can answer our tefillahs. And this is someone I brought over here, two sources in Rashi, where it does seem to say that malachim do have bechira. Like it says that the malachim were punished when they came to Lot because they said, you know, we can't do anything. So as if they sounded like they are in control. If you're being punished, I mean, it seems to be you have free will to do something right and wrong. And the Rambam is saying clearly the malachim don't have free will. So we'll end off with the discussion. The Maral asks that there are many parts of our tefillah where we do seem to address the malachim. We say, Machnisei Rachamim, Achnisei Rachameinu Lifnei Baal Rachamim. We say to the malachim, bring our tefillahs in front of Hashem. Why are we talking to the malachim?
But they were asking the malachim to go to God.
Right. Well, the malachim are programmed. It's like asking your computer. Can you please follow through on the program? Well, if it's programmed in the computer, it's going to do it. And if it's not programmed, it's not going to do it. There's no point in talking to the computer. It's not going to make any difference. So the Rambam is saying talking to a malach is like talking to a computer. Either it was programmed in from Hashem to do it, and he's going to do it. And if he wasn't programmed in, it doesn't help to talk to it. Can't really do anything about it anyway. So that's the principle that the Rambam is saying. So what's the point of telling the malachim to go bring our tefillas to Hashem? Either they're going to do it because they have to, because Hashem makes them do it, to program them to do it, or they weren't programmed to do it, and then it won't really help for you to tell them. So the Maral says maybe we're really speaking to Hashem, we're not really speaking to the Malachim, and we're telling Hashem, please tell the Malachim to bring the tefillas to you. Since the way Hashem made it is the tefillas go through the Malachim, so please, Hashem, ask the Malachim to bring their tefillas. And he says, well, we'd have to change a little bit the tiktok if that's the case. I happen to be, when I say it, that's what I have in mind. I'm talking to Hashem and telling him to please, asking him to please tell the Malachim to bring the tefillas to you. But again, I don't know if everybody agrees with the way the Rambam is formulating it. There may be those who say it's forbidden to ask Malachim, but could be they have Bechira to do something, we're just forbidden to ask. The way the Rambam is formulating it, not necessarily it's forbidden, it's pointless to ask Malachim because they don't have Bechira. Therefore, it's a principle in Emunah that only Hashem is in control and not everybody else. Okay, so this, according to the Ikrim, was the first of the principles. In other words, the Ikrim said there's a belief in God. That's principle number one. In it, he said there are four or five subcategories, which is the existence of God, the unity of God, the fact that God has no physicality, the fact that God is the eternity of God, and the fact that God can listen to our tefillas. Those are all, he says, goes under the awareness of God. And as we're saying, the way the Rav Chaim is saying it is that we not only have to know that God exists, but we have to be aware of these five aspects of God's existence.